Welcome to our sermon series with your host, author, and Bible conference speaker, Dr. Victor Matthews. Today's message is titled, The Will of God, Joy. Now with today's message, here is Dr. Matthews.
If you take your Bible, please, and turn with me again to the Gospel of John in chapter 15. I read this a few moments ago as our scripture text. I would like to read the 11th verse as the text of the message this morning. The Gospel of John, chapter 15, and the 11th verse. As you know, John 15 is in a part of what we call in the scripture the farewell discourse. The Lord Jesus met on this final week of his life on earth, before the crucifixion, that is. He met with his disciples at the time of the Passover. In a very few hours, he would be in Gethsemane and crying out in agony to God concerning the crucifixion. Judas would come and betray him with a kiss. The mob would come. The soldiers would arrest him. And he would be dragged back and forth through that night and into the next day through a successive series of trials, finally to be scourged, condemned, and led off to be crucified. The farewell discourse is designated that in the Gospel of John because it's the very wonderful attempt on the part of the Lord Jesus Christ to prepare his disciples for the next few days that would be the most difficult through which they would ever live. Here in the 11th verse, we have seemingly a thought that is out of place at such a solemn time as this. The verse reads, the statement of the Lord Jesus Christ, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full. When you look at the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, it certainly does not seem that the topic of joy would be appropriate in such a passage as this. Of all of the solemn times in the life of the Lord Jesus, where in a few short hours he is to be overwhelmed in the realization of what it was going to mean for him to die upon the cross. And here, he's talking about having the joy of the Lord. Of all of the times, to be very serious with the disciples so that they wouldn't make a mistake in their thinking about their relationship to him during the days that would be before them. Of all of the things to talk about, joy would certainly not be included in that. What do we make of this unusual statement? And there are a series of them that run all through the farewell discourse about the joy of the Lord. What are we to make of this? It's interesting how he ties the concept of joy in this 11th verse into the whole message of the farewell discourse, where he says, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy may be full. You notice that the Lord Jesus Christ is stating that if you know what I have been saying to you and what I've taught in all of these months, and if you know who I am, and if you genuinely believe upon me and put that into practice, there will be a characteristic of your life that will be a life of joy. He's saying, of course, that if you know and do the will of God, if you are in the will of God day by day, then you will have a characteristic of life which will be joy. The will of God is how we are to live. One of the great benefits of living in the known will of God and doing the will of God from the heart, just day by day, day by day, day by day, is that we would have his joy in our lives. What an unusual statement that is. There are many times when most of us think that the will of God has to do with five or six important things. First of all, it has to do with whether the young person should go in Christian service or not. It has to do with what school they should attend, who they should marry, where they live, what church they join, what kind of work they do. But after we've taken care of these five or six things, sometimes we puzzle, well, what else could be the will of God? And many times we settle this by the time we're 25 years old. And from the rest of our life, what does the will of God really mean? When we approach the will of God like that, we've made a fatal, non-biblical mistake. We need to remind ourselves that the will of God is something that concerns all of us as the people of God in every day of our life. knowing how to live in the will of God, doing the will of God from the heart, doing that which is pleasing to God. And here a verse, and there are many more like this in the Bible, as you know, this verse reminds us that when we know and practice the will of God day by day, there will always be a series of characteristics to that kind of a life. And here's the most important. We will have the joy of the Lord in our lives. This is a good way to test as to whether we really know and practice the will of God. Too many of us are like the young fellow who suddenly realized after he was married 5 years that he was inexorably caught in a bad situation. For 5 years he had been married, and suddenly he realized that his wife would never learn how to cook. Did you ever hear about that man? This young fellow enjoyed good food, and all of the 5 years he was hoping that something would happen miraculously in the kitchen. It never did. You know how many meals there are in a year? 1,095. How many in 5 years? 5,475. And here the young fellow suddenly is awakened to the realization that he's lost 5,475 good meals. Talk about being caught in a bad situation. And then he thinks of something that overwhelms him, and that is that he has 40 more years of bad food to look forward to. You know how many meals there are in 40 years? 43,800. Can you understand what it means for a person to be caught in a situation like this? Well, this is the picture of many of us as Christians. We are the people of God, but for many of us, we don't enjoy the most important things and the things that we can't get out of. We can't get out of praying, but many of us do not enjoy prayer. I've known people who've given up the prayer life. They've tried, they've given it up. They stopped trying to learn how to pray, and so they stopped praying, except for a little moment or two in daily devotions or a little prayer here and there at the table when they're called on, or sometimes in family altar. They have to do it to get through family altar. And they've given up. They have no enjoyment in prayer. They know they can't stop praying, but they wish they could because they don't enjoy it. They can't stop reading the Bible because they're a Christian, but they don't enjoy it. They can't stop going to church. They have to turn up for church, but they cut the church services down to as few as possible, but they don't enjoy it. What a miserable way of living. They're living outside of the will of God. If this Christian can learn how to practice the will of God, then they would enjoy the prayer life. They would enjoy Bible study. They would enjoy church. Some of you don't believe that's possible. It is possible. And that's what this verse is all about. The Lord Jesus said, "These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy might be full." Notice the kind of joy it is. It's his joy, first of all. It's not the joy that comes out of our circumstances. Now, all of us here are more or less happy or contented when our family's healthy and the job is going well, the paychecks are coming in, we're getting close to balancing the budget, things are going well in the church. When things are like that, most of us are contented and sometimes a little happy. That's not the kind of happiness and joy that's in this verse. This is a kind of a joy that is always there in spite of the circumstances. No matter how difficult and tragic the circumstances may be, the person always has the deep, profound, inner, spiritual joy of the Lord. That is, this kind of a Christian described by the Lord Jesus Christ is one who enjoys God and therefore enjoys prayer because he's talking with God. He enjoys the Bible because it's God's word. He enjoys church because it's the worship and the service of God. What a group of people we would be if all of us would enjoy the Lord. You would have to be in a constant building program, even though you are here in Newaygo. A constant building program. People would come because they couldn't misunderstand your testimony. They couldn't argue you out of it. Nobody could deny the validity of the testimony of this group of people. because they see the genuine article. What is it? The joy of the Lord. That's what the verse is all about. When we see this verse, then, we need to ask the very important question, and that is, do I have the joy of the Lord in my life? This is not a question now as to whether we're content with things are going well. That's not the question at all. It's not the question as to whether I enjoy meeting my friends at church. We all do. We all like to get caught up on what happened last week, you know, who's doing what when. We all enjoy that. But my question to you this morning, and it's a very, very serious one, is do you enjoy the Lord? Occasionally I have an opportunity to work with non-Christian college and university students. Almost every time when I'm asked to work with them, it's on some kind of a concept that has to do with the proof as to whether Christianity is genuine. Many times, non-Christian college students will say to me, not in these words, but if I might summarize it in a sentence, it would be like this. If Christianity is so great, why is it that you Christians are so sad? Well, that's a pretty good question. We need to stop and ask ourselves, why is it if we are God's people, if he has assumed all responsibility for us, if he has promised to supply all of our needs, if he has promised to take care of any kind of a problem that would come along in our life, and if we're looking forward to living forever with God and all of the people that we really love, well, then what do we have to be sad about? Nothing. We should have the joy of the Lord in our lives. Something's wrong with us. What's wrong with us if we don't have the joy of the Lord? It's because we're out of the will of God. I don't mean now that you're some kind of a terrible sinner. Not at all. For many years, I lived without the joy of the Lord in my life. And that's why I'm interested in preaching this message to you. Many years went by not knowing the joy of the Lord. This didn't mean that I was living a double kind of a life, cheating on my wife or something like that. Of course not. I hungered for God with every atom of my being. I studied his word, even though many times I didn't enjoy it. I prayed carefully with real discipline, even though many times I didn't enjoy the prayer life. And I attended church and preached the gospel and taught people and worked with people, even though many times I could teach a person to have the joy of the Lord in their lives, I didn't have it in mine. What great agony and tension that brought into my life. I just can't tell you what happened to me for all of those years. But I'm grateful that I found the secret. What kind of joy is it? It's the joy of the Lord. Not just the joy of Christian service. It's the joy of God as a person. And in all of those years, even though I was very careful about my life, in a sense, I was out of his will because I didn't have the product. And what is the product? It's his joy. Now, if you're here this morning without the joy of the Lord as a Christian, my heart goes out to you because I know what kind of a life you're living. If you don't have the joy of the Lord, you're not just empty. If you don't have the joy of the Lord on the inside, welling up as a fountain of life, there's something else there welling up, and I know what it is. It's bitterness, criticism, irritation, frustration, disappointment. That's what's there. I understand all about that. But notice the will of God for us is that we might have his joy. So we don't have to be caught in life like the man who suddenly realized that his wife couldn't cook. We don't have to be caught in a situation where it's the commandment of God to read the Bible and pray and attend church, and yet we don't enjoy doing that. We're not caught in that kind of a situation. There's not a person here in this auditorium today, but what you can have, the joy of the Lord in your life, because it's the provision of God. Jesus Christ died that you can have his joy. He was raised from the grave, so you could have his joy. He ascended and was seated at God's right hand in victory over the devil so that you could have the joy of the Lord. He sent the Holy Spirit so you could have the joy of the Lord. He's given us the Bible and the church and leaders in the church so we might be able to live day by day with the joy of the Lord in our lives. So what does this text mean? These things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you and that your joy might be full. The very surface teaching of the verse is that it is the express will of God for every Christian to have the joy of the Lord in your life. I want you to take your Bible now and please leap along with me and look at a few verses here in the Gospel. First of all, notice in chapter 16 of the Gospel of John, and notice the statement in verse 23, John 16, 23. It states, in that day ye shall ask me nothing. Verily, verily, I say unto you, whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he will give it you. This is chapter 16, verse 24 now. Hitherto have you asked nothing in my name. Ask, and ye shall receive, that your joy might be full. What an unusual statement that God would expect us to enjoy the prayer life. He said, pray. Whatsoever ye shall ask the Father in my name, he'll give it to you, that your joy might be full. What a strange statement that is for too many of us as believers. What a wonderful thing would happen in your life if you started to have the joy of the Lord. You know what would happen? The problem of the prayer life would be solved. We all do what we enjoy. I work with people and know people who would lose sleep over what they enjoy. We have no problem spending a good deal of money on what we enjoy. We have no problem finding time for what we enjoy. And that would be true for the prayer life. If you really enjoyed praying, well, then the daily devotions in your life wouldn't be a problem. Many times when groups want me to come and speak to them, they give me a title. You would be surprised how often the title is The Problem of Daily Devotion. I've often wondered why problem and daily devotions have to be together in the same topic. It's like the problem of eating good steak, you know? Wouldn't we be a strange group of people if we would have somebody come and lecture to us as to how we could solve the problem of eating good steak? Well, the prayer life has been designed by God to be enjoyable. Now, let me just say to you very frankly, and I'm not trying to put you down at all, but if you don't enjoy praying, then something's wrong. It may not be that something's wrong in your life. You just may never have learned how to pray. That may be it. You may never have been taught. Perhaps you have never learned. You'd hear a person say, well, I'm going to learn to play the piano, and I'm going to give it 3 weeks. Well, you'd say, 3 weeks? You'd better give it 3 years. Play the piano in 3 weeks. How long did you practice prayer before you gave up? 3 weeks? Have you ever learned how to pray? Most of us have never learned. The promise in the Word of God is that if we pray correctly and everything else being equal, God says you will enjoy it. You will enjoy the prayer. Notice chapter 17 of John. John 17 and verse 13. John 17, 13. And now come I to thee. This is a high priestial prayer of the Lord Jesus. He prayed, and now come I to thee. And these things I speak in the world, that they might have my joy fulfilled in themselves. Again, notice the context of the text. It's in his high priestial prayer. Jesus Christ prayed for every believer in this John 17 prayer. He prayed for you. If you're here today and if you're a believer, he prayed that you might have the joy of the Lord in your life. That's right. He prayed for that. Don't you see how important it is? If he would put these three statements into the farewell discourse, it would have to be very important. Three times he emphasizes the will of God being the joy of the Lord in the life of the Christian. Joy of the Lord in practicing these things. The joy of the Lord in the prayer life. The joy of the Lord on the basis of his own prayer. Now, there are only four requests, as you know, for the Christian in John 17. But one of them is that we might have his joy. Don't you understand that God wants you to be happy as a Christian? Unhappiness is not particularly a good Christian testimony. That's why non-Christians ask me, if Christianity is so great, why are you people so sad? They can't understand that. They see it very clearly. Somehow we've missed it. We don't understand that. We're such a sad group of people. I somehow in some of the churches I get into, I think that they believe what happened a couple of years ago when people said God had died. And so we're just continuing to go to the funeral. God's dead. No, he isn't dead. The joy of the Lord is something that he expects us to have. Don't you understand that he prayed for it? Now, do you believe that you're in the will of God without the joy of the Lord if Jesus Christ prayed that you would have his joy? You can't say that. You can't say on the basis of John 17:13 that you're in the will of God if you don't have the joy of the Lord. There's no reason why you can't be a happy Christian. There's absolutely no reason why you can't enjoy the Bible and be able to feed yourself out of the Bible and be interested in the Word of God and read it with real joy and relish. There's no reason why you can't enjoy praying and finding time during the day when you get off by yourself to pray for the sheer enjoyment of talking with God and being in fellowship with him. There's absolutely no barrier but what it can be broken down as to why you can't come to the church services and go away more happy than when you came, to really enjoy the services in the church. And that's a part of what these verses are all about. The Lord Jesus Christ prayed for you as a person that you might have the joy of the Lord. Now, if this prayer isn't being answered in your life, whatever you do, don't go on living. Don't go on living like that. Find out why you do not have the joy of the Lord. Talk to your pastor. Sit down in the office and ask your pastor, why is it that I don't have the joy of the Lord in my life? Show me what to do so I can. If you're too embarrassed to talk to the pastor, call me on the phone. I'll be glad to talk to you, sit down and talk with you, tell you how you can have the joy of the Lord. Notice the next passage, would you please? It's the book of Romans, chapter 14. I just want to see, have you seen this now in the Bible? The book of Romans now in chapter 14, verse 17. Romans 14, 17. Notice the verse. Romans in the 14th chapter and the 17th verse reads like this. The kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. Now this verse is an interpretation of what it means to be in the kingdom of God. If you are a saved person, that's what it says, there will be certain characteristics. To be a saved person does not mean that there will be a primary evidence of it in things on the outside, for example, like eating and drinking. Now we understand there is, but that's not the primary thing. The primary thing is on the inside. What's the kingdom of God all about? Oh, it's about righteousness and peace and joy. It's just knowing the difference between right and wrong on the inside, wanting to do the right, not do the wrong, and having the ability to do the right and not do the wrong. That's where it starts. That's what it means to be a Christian. And it means to be a Christian that peace and joy is a part of your daily experience. Well, now, we need to ask whether if a person doesn't have the joy of the Lord, they need to ask the question very boldly, maybe I'm not a Christian. Maybe I'm not in the kingdom of God. If I have lived all of my so-called Christian life without the joy of the Lord, maybe I'm not even in the kingdom of God. Because what it means to be in the kingdom of God has to do with righteousness and peace and joy. Now, what would you say to a person who professed to be a Christian and didn't have all of the byproducts and characteristics of being a Christian? You'd say he ought to ask the question as to whether he's really born again. Well, now, we need to ask that. But I also know it's true for a Christian to live wanting the joy of the Lord and yet not knowing how to lay hold of it, not knowing how to have the joy of the Lord in his life. I lived like that as a Christian for years. It's possible to do that. But it's not the will of God we live like that. That's why we have these blunt verses in the Bible. The very characteristic of being in the kingdom of God is that we do have joy along with peace and along with righteousness. Now, I hope that you take this at face value and realize that without any question, God wants you to be that happy Christian. He wants this verse to be true in your life. Notice chapter 15 of Romans, Romans 15, verse 13. Now, those of you who have studied the book of Romans knows that this verse, Romans 15, 13, ends the practical section of the book. The practical section of the book of Romans starts at chapter 12, verse 1, where we're told to surrender ourselves as a living sacrifice unto God, and it ends in 15:13. So this is a very important verse. Paul is saying in this verse, if you know what Christianity is, and if you put Christianity into practice, what will happen is that you will have this. Now, what is it? Verse 13. Now, the God of hope. Isn't that a beautiful title for God? Now, the God of hope, fill you. Notice God does it. Fill you with all joy and peace in believing, that you may abound in hope through the power of the Holy Spirit. Well, now here it is, very simple, very blunt, very plain, very clear, very much the will of God for every Christian. If we practice Christianity, the known will of God will be to have his joy and hope in our lives. Notice again the title for God. He is not called the God of hopelessness. Too many of us live like that. Too many of us have taken the chalk of life and we've written hopeless over certain areas of life. I work with a lot of people on a one-by-one basis. Many of these people have taken the chalk of life and written hopeless over some Christian area of their life. Many people that I work with that are in trouble, in the spiritually speaking, they have written hopeless over their prayer life or over Bible study. Or they've reacted strongly and written hopeless over the church. But notice that the name of God is the God of hope. That's a very beautiful title. Notice another element in this verse that we haven't seen, and that is that joy and peace comes through believing. That is, through the right exercise of faith. Notice thirdly, in the last part of the verse, that is due to the power of the Holy Spirit. Joy and righteousness and peace and hope, these characteristics of the Christian life when the Christian lives in the will of God, these characteristics are not produced by the Christian. They are produced in us by the power of the Holy Spirit. Through our operation of the exercise of faith and love, it's by the power of the Holy Spirit. So when we understand the Christian life, and when we put it into practice, when we are in the will of God, then God promises here in these verses that he will bring joy into our lives. There will be a characteristic of being in the will of God. It's the joy of the Lord. Notice the book of Galatians now, very quickly. The book of Galatians chapter 5 and verse 22. You know this verse from memory, but it's good to look at it in the Bible. The book of Galatians chapter 5 and the 22nd verse. Galatians 5:22 reads like this. The fruit of the Spirit, 5:22 of Galatians, the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, and so forth. Joy, there it is, number two. Is it possible that you're here today and that you believe that you're filled with the Holy Spirit, and yet is it possible that you would say that and not have the fruit of the Spirit? You can't say that. That's impossible. But the child of God is one that should be filled. God has made every provision that every Christian should live out his daily life filled with the Spirit of God. And what's the characteristic of being in the will of God and filled with his Spirit? We have the fruit of the Spirit, which is love, joy, peace, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, meekness, faithfulness, and self-control. The joy of the Lord. Don't you see it by the operation of the Holy Spirit? Now, some of you have said, as I've been preaching this message, well, I'm not going to try it again. I've tried it too many times. I'm not trying to get you to do anything. You don't have to do it. Don't you understand that it's the Holy Spirit that does it in our lives? He is the one who does it. This is called the fruit of the Spirit, not your fruit. It's his fruit. He is the one that will do it in your life. Once we understand the will of God and then put it into practice with honesty. Now let me raise the question in your mind as to why God has given us the Bible. Why did he give us the Bible? Well, let's look at a verse, should we? 1 John chapter 1, verse 4. Look at this statement. The book of 1 John chapter 1 in the 4th verse. You will find if you leaf through this little book of 1 John, there were many reasons why the book was written. But notice the first reason. First John chapter 1, verse 4 reads like this, "And these things write we unto you, that your joy may be full." Isn't that unusual? The Bible was given to us so that we might live a life of joy. Do you really think that you are rightly related to God through His Word if you don't have the joy of the Lord in your life? No, you can't be. Because God has given the Bible to you that you might have the joy of the Lord. Well, there are all of these verses now that indicate that this is God's expressed will for every one of us. Now, let me go to the third point of the message, and that is the benefits of having God's will. What would happen in your life and mine if we would have the joy of the Lord? First of all, it'll keep us from yielding to temptation. This, in many of our lives, is a very serious problem. What do you do when you're tempted? And all of us in this auditorium this morning, we all undergo a great series of temptations. To have the joy of the Lord will do more than almost anything else to enable us to deal correctly with temptation. Because we know from the Scripture and from our experience that when we yield to temptation incorrectly, we lose the joy of the Lord. When we sin against God, the first thing we lose is His joy. So once you understand the greatness of the joy of the Lord, you wouldn't lose that for anything. What temptation could ever come into the life of the Christian who understands the joy of the Lord? What sin would ever be great enough so that you would trade your joy for that sin? Why, that's the most ridiculous thing on the face of the earth. Once you have the joy of the Lord in your life, the only way the devil's going to be able to get to you is to deceive you in some way. It'll cure, first of all, then, that problem of temptation. Secondarily, it'll motivate the Christian to read the Bible, to pray, and to serve God. And the reason for it is very simple. He will enjoy it. He will enjoy it. All of us do what we enjoy. Thirdly, it will deliver the Christian from pretense. Oh, what a great group of pretenders we are as Christians. So, you know, you've had a bad week. Things haven't gone very well. You don't feel very good. Suddenly you realize that tomorrow's Sunday, and you've got to put on your Sunday smile. You got to go and pretend that everything is okay. So Saturday night, you practice, stand in front of the mirror, you practice smiling. You haven't smiled all week, so So that's often how we go to church. We go to church, we've had a bad week, a bad month, things aren't going well, we need prayer. But you can't act like that. You can't act like you're in trouble because the Christian's not supposed to be in trouble, you know? So now you got to pretend. Pretend everything is fine. Don't tell anybody you're in trouble. Don't tell anybody you need prayer. Don't you see what this will do for us? There's no need to pretend once you have the joy of the Lord in your life. The reason for it, everything's okay on the inside. No matter how bad things get, you still have the joy of the Lord. And you don't have to pretend about it. You don't get uptight about going to prayer meeting and then wishing you could give a request. Well, what do you have to pretend about? You've got the joy of the Lord, so you give your request. You have people pray for you. How different we would be. How different we would be if we'd stop pretending. The fourth thing is that it would cause people to understand that we are really Christians. Is there anything else? Yes, on the Bible and New Testament, there's only one other thing that's mentioned that's a characteristic of the Christian that'll prove to the non-Christian that we are genuine. And that is, if we love one another. That's the only other time, John 13, verse 13, 34 and 35. But there's nothing that will convince a non-Christian more when he sees it, that Christianity is genuine, than to see joy in the lives of the people of God. Don't you ever think that when you stand and testify to a non-Christian about salvation, don't you ever think that the devil will let it go by if you don't have the joy of the Lord in your life? No matter how you smile and pretend, no matter how fine your arguments are, no matter how skilled you are in the steps of winning this person to the Lord, if you don't have the joy of the Lord in your life, the devil will point it out to that person. And he will stand there and wonder, all the time you're giving your famous arguments, you will stand there and wonder, well, if it's true, why doesn't he enjoy it? That's what that non-Christian will be thinking up there all the time, and the devil will make sure that he does. But if you have the joy of the Lord, even though your arguments are not so skilled, even though you can't quote the verse exactly, that non-Christian will be dealt with very severely by the Spirit of God, because that non-Christian will stand there and look in the face of a person who isn't pretending. He'll stand there and be overwhelmed by the realization, here is a person who's a product of what he's talking about. He not only believes it, it has to be true. There he is. How can I deny it? That's what the non-Christian will be forced to say by the ministry of the Holy Spirit. Well, my Christian friend, as I bring this message to a close now, I have a real question that's raised in my mind, and that is, I wonder what you're going to do with my sermon. That's my question. What are you going to do with it? Are you going to go on pretending you have joy when you don't? I hope not. I hope you'll be honest about this. Don't go on pretending. Don't you say, well, that's true for him, but it can't be true for me. Don't you see, I've shown you from the Bible that this is the will of God for you. God wants you to be happy. Secondarily, are you going to go on blaming God and other people for what may be your fault? Don't go on like that. Don't blame God for your lack of joy. Thirdly, I hope that you will honestly acknowledge your need and seek help. Get alone this afternoon and get down on your knees in the presence of God and admit to God that you do not have the joy of the Lord, and ask him to rescue you. Well, 1900 years ago, Jesus Christ prayed that you might have his joy. He will surely come to your rescue. If you do not know what to do about it, well, go and see the pastor. Call on me. Let us help you. There's absolutely no reason why you can't live with the joy of the Lord in your life. The Lord Jesus Christ said, these things have I spoken unto you, that my joy might remain in you, and that your joy may be full. May God grant it in your life and mine. Amen. Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Loving Father, we thank you for thy word. We pray that you will take it and instruct us, and convict us, humble us, and encourage us, and bring us as thy people to the place of having your joy in our lives. For we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen.
Thank you for listening to our message on the will of God, joy. And make sure to listen to other sermons available on our website, as well as many full-length Bible teaching series. The address is drvictormatthews.org.